You're listening to An Introduction to the Catholic Life.
Welcome to An Introduction to the Catholic Life.
Hello everyone.
How are we all?
Good. Good to be back.
Good to be back.
We've had a bit of a transfer window since our last recording. One in, one out.
James, how are you?
So, James is no more, and it is Mickey McFadden stepping into the, or should I say, filling the rather small shoes of James Farrell for this week. So, a friend of the podcast since its creation, saying that I think I've only listened to two, and known everyone here and known James through faith for a number of years.
Yeah.
So we should explain that James is currently in Magaluf. for a few wild days before he comes back for Holy Week. I jest, he is on a retreat, sort of preparing for
a week-long loan deal to some Benedictines and Largs.
Yeah.
That's where James is headed off to.
Down to the seaside. Yeah. Quite nice, to be honest. I'd like a wee retreat with some Benedictines.
Yeah. And Mickey won the competition, which we had on last week. Every so often we have a... We got the opportunity to one lucky listener to join us for a recording, and Mickey was fortunate enough to have his name drawn out of the hat last week, so it's good to have you with us, Mickey.
Well, thank you very much. A competition I didn't realise I entered, but
You got the golden ticket and a bar of chocolate.
Yeah, so, perfect.
Yeah. So I just feel great that we've managed to make a superfan's dream come true by letting you be here.
Yeah. Well, all jokes aside, I am very honoured. It's on the occasion that I have listened, I've always thought one day... One day I'll be speaking into that mic. So dreams do come true. So
So we met Mickey McFadden about 5 years ago now, probably, I've known you. I think we did through the faith movement, and I guess it just goes to show the real strength of a lot of these youth movements you get across the UK, and I'm sure across the world, where unites young Catholics from you know, all parts of the world, and brings us together and unites us in the faith, and we've been friends for quite a while. Mickey comes up to watch a particular football team in Glasgow frequently and then sees us as well.
Yeah. And as I said, it's without the faith movement, you sort of struggle to see how these sort of friendships would have formed. And I'm actually, I think, celebrating my 10th sort of anniversary of involvement with the faith movement this year. Something I started just when I was at university. I got sort of pulled along to one conference, and from there that sort of the rest is history. And in that time, sort of lots of good friendships and that with people. So yeah, something I very grateful for. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And how was your journey up?
So when in years gone by, when I had a season ticket for a certain club in Glasgow, I would always be on the megabus. More recently, as it was not quite as frequent, I would fly up or occasionally drive up. I returned to the megabus last night, and unfortunately it wasn't the return I had hoped for. It was very, very busy. I was sat next to a couple who were moving from London to Glasgow via the megabus. So they had about 17 bags each, and they thought it was okay to try and put a couple of those bags on my knees. And then when I sort of reacted a little unfriendly, they were a bit surprised. The bus then broke down twice. And it was a very long, sweaty, smelly journey. So
And that's just because of you, so...
Yeah, it's the destination and not the journey that is important.
Amen.
So...
Amen. That's a good Catholic mention. Good Catholic message there. Yeah. But yeah, it's been quite busy. I've been busy with work, settling into my new job, working for the uni. It's been a good laugh. Been running escape rooms. It's been a bit different, but yeah, it's been good.
Maybe James is just stuck in one of your escape rooms. Can't get out.
I actually have locked in people in the escape rooms. It's been quite good. I locked in some of the senior management team in the uni. It's just a good laugh. So, can I complain? How the rest of you?
Good. It's been a busy spell, though. Last couple of weeks at work, I've been out and about in Glasgow and elsewhere with a camera, and been covering a few contentious and controversial topics, which we might well have the opportunity to discuss a little bit later on in future recordings and future episodes and so forth. But it's been a busy spell, and so it's that way. It's peaks and troughs, and if the sun's out, then you take the opportunity to go out and film. So it's been quite a busy spell. I'll be glad to get to the Easter week, so I've taken the Easter week off, which will be quite nice. It'll be good to have the opportunity just to rest and recover for a while.
Good. And our resident father figure, Conical Day.
Yeah, I've been on, it's full-time daddy daycare at the moment, so Amy's back to work, and I'm working on my dissertation and looking after Lucy Maria, and it's been great. It's been really good. Busy, but it's amazing to spend so much time with her. So
busier or quieter than school?
Well, you're still kind of busy all the time, still constantly doing things, because she's still so small, she's like 10 months, so you still need to keep an eye on her all the times, but it's not the same as like being in front of a classroom of 30, pupils when they stand at Glasgow.
So. Have you seen Kindergarten Cop?
No.
It's a good film. I recommend that you watch that.
There you go. Although I have seen Jeremy Kyle from time to time this past week, because when you're in at 10 o'clock in the morning and you put on TV, that's Jeremy Kyle, and it's like, I've not watched that for years, so there you go. Not that I watch Jeremy Kyle.
Avid fan during university.
There's your fan. Right.
You should enter the competition to go on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So I suppose we can move on to our topic of this week. So this podcast will be getting released on Palm Sunday. So I hope you're all enjoying your Palm Sunday, folding your palms into wee crosses. I always liked... I folded quite a sick cross, if I do say so myself.
Or it's come pre-folded to the chaplaincy.
Oh, wow.
There you go. Saves you the saves.
Who
you
folds
the
them? Who folds
Father
them?
Father Ross.
Like, originally. Whoa.
He doesn't actually. I think they come pre-folded.
Pre-folded.
Unless there's someone in the background that folds them all, but I've never seen,
That's the Amazon Prime of Tumble Hall. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I've always struggled with the folding, so.
I'll show you. Thanks.
you'll be here for Palm Sunday. So
I will.
I'll show you how to fold away a nice wee cross. But as we move into Holy Week, we thought it would be good this week to speak about the hour of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We thought it'd be good to speak about that encounter that Jesus has with the apostles in the garden, where he is praying at the most crucial moment, just before he's given over to the authorities, and he asks the apostles to pray with him. And he finds them sleeping. So that kind of encounter is quite an important one, and it's quite kind of pertinent to the whole of Holy Week. It really does kind of set a tone for our attitude, or what our attitude should be throughout that week. So maybe a good place to start might be to read that Gospel passage. So we'll start with that. So that is from Matthew's account of the Gospel, and it begins here. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go yonder and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So you could not watch with me 1 hour. Watch and pray that you might not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And that passage goes on to repeat that pattern of other two times where Christ goes on to pray and comes back and finds the disciples sleeping. And I suppose that's that really is our role in Holy Week, to be the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watching and praying and not falling asleep. But so often during Lent and even during Holy Week, we can maybe fall shy of that command that Christ gives us, watch and pray.
Yeah, and hearing the tone of Jesus there when he says, so, you know, you couldn't do it, essentially, you know. Mm. You're thinking of that experience that St. Peter and the others who were there had, you know, having Christ come up to them and basically say, so, you know, I've asked you to do this and you could not do that. It must have been completely, you know, it must have been really upsetting for them to hear that. And of course, we need to remember that in many ways, depending on how generous we are to our time with Christ, especially during Holy Week, we are hearing the same words from Christ in a sense.
Mm-hmm. I'm always struck by the fact that Jesus is accompanied by Peter and also the sons of Zebedee, James and John. These are the three apostles most trusted by our Lord, John the Beloved. James, who of course ended up in a position of great authority, of great responsibility in the Middle East, and St. Peter, of course, as we know, went on to Rome, and whom we consider to be the first bishop of Rome as well. I'm always struck by the fact that it's those three, the three most trusted, and of course, it was those three also who failed to stay awake that 1 hour. And I suppose it's a warning against any sort of complacency in the spiritual life. Even if we've had a very good Lent in the previous 40 days, we can't ever let our guard down, and certainly not in Holy Week. And we know how moving that liturgy on Holy Thursday is. We know it's a very it's a special time. It's one of the high points of the church's liturgical year. But even then, we can't let up that period of fasting, of prayer, of penance, of almsgiving. It's not over yet. And if the apostles can fall prey to the wiliness of the devil, certainly we can as well. There's a very good depiction of that, of course, in the in Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, where Jesus himself is depicted. You know, he's sweating, he's in tears, he's breathless. He's in every way experiencing the depths of the sins of those around him. And it's worthwhile for us to remember that during Holy Week as well, and particularly during that, as you say, 1 hour, which we're asked to keep watch, to remain vigilant, to be with Christ and to pray with him.
I always think as well, reading that passage just at the very start when it says, you know, Christ even says, I am sorrowful unto death. I mean, you know, this is the man that the disciples have been following around, who has been steadfast, who has calmed storms, who has healed the sick, who's fed 5,000. This is the man who they know to be God. They trust him completely, and they see him troubled and sorrowful. I mean, that must have shook them, actually. Mm. You know,
and scared as well.
Yeah, I mean, they must have been. And it really shows, you know, Christ is true God and true man, and you can really see the humanity of Christ being shown here, and that he experiences that very human emotion of sorrow, fear, dread, at the you know, the magnitude of the task that was before him, really.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples must have been quite shaken by this.
Yeah.
I think I can imagine.
I mean, he just wants his friends to pray with him mm-hmm. at this important time, and they can't seem to do that. And of course, they didn't understand the gravity of the mm-hmm. of the situation like he did. They didn't understand what was going to happen next. But nonetheless, that's the way events took place. And it's, yeah, I think it's one of those real you can really hear whenever you read those words of Christ speaking to St. Peter, you can hear him saying that to you as well. I think that's mm-hmm. what I always feel like. And I think the liturgy of Holy Thursday as well, like you mentioned, Rudy, is really particularly moving. But I think my favourite part of that is the procession after the Holy Thursday mm-hmm. Mass, and to the Garden of Repose, when the Blessed Sacrament is transported by candlelight through the church building, or wherever you're going to go, to the side altar or to another outbuilding, to the Garden of Repose, where then we as the church kneel and pray before our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, as if we were watching in Gethsemane with him just in that moment through the night. And of course, you spend hours there, or you try to spend at least an hour there. But even then, it's, you know, and that when it gets late at night and you've got Good Friday the next day and you feel that you've got loads of things in your mind, and it's at that moment I always think that you hear those words of Christ, can you not even wait for an hour with me? Yeah. You know, could you not even do that?
Yeah, I always feel it's a So there's a couple of lines you hear, and that's one that really sort of stands out as a sort of personal challenge, and particularly as we approach Holy Week, but sort of generally as well. As you said, after the Mass on Maundy Thursday, there is that hour, and I always sort of have the decision to sort of whether you stay at home or you go back. And sort of we in Ireland, when we go, it's quite sort of like half an hour back to the church, and there's always that moment. I once went and famously fell asleep during that hour, and the priest was reading out in front of like 30 or 40 people, and he was like, and Christ asked us, can you watch just 1 hour with me? And he was like, and that young man there cannot. And I sort of shut up, and I was all like, oh, like that. But as I said, yeah, I always see it as a challenge in sort of everyday life, and if I'm not praying or if I'm not making time, I sort of, those words are always there as a bit of a wake up call. And sometimes I say I'm too busy, and then you think, but I'd watch a football match for 90 minutes, and I'll sit on my phone, and I'd watch a film. So it's always quite prominent sort of in my mind as a bit of a bit of a wake-up call. And again, you hear the disappointment and I think almost anger in sort of Jesus's words, where he feels, as you said, the most trusted disciples that have sort of let him down. So
mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's like a personal rejection, like you, yeah. I mean, it's kind of easy to, if we ignore God in our kind of day-to-day lives and don't pray all that much, then, you know, neglecting prayer maybe doesn't seem like that big a deal. But Jesus Christ is a person that wants to be very close to us, and you know, that rejection of prayer is a rejection to spend time with him in those kinds of moments. So it's a personal wake up call, and yeah, you can feel the kind of the pain in his voice, particularly on Maundy Thursday.
In Lent and moving into, as we move into the Triduum and move into Holy Week, it's a perfect time, I think, for us to think about how much time do we spend every day in prayer, you know, and to be truthful with yourself about that before God, and say, well, you know, how much time do I spend on my phone? How much time do I spend watching TV? How much time do I spend, you know, even if it's, you know, reading, you know, whatever you do to spill out your time, to how much time do I spend speaking to others and chatting, but how much time do I spend with you, Lord? You know, well, I think if we all have that conversation with ourselves and with God, then we will realize that we're not giving enough time to Christ every day, and that's the kind of I think it's a wake-up call, which, and then you can have injection of enthusiasm in the spiritual life that Lent and particularly Holy Week can give you. You know, there's those kind of hard-hitting truths that we might try to pass off throughout the year, kind of come crashing home to us when we hear those words of Christ saying, "How, you know, could you not even wait an hour?" You know,
yeah, it's something which is true throughout the rest of the year as well. Just picking up on something which you said there, Mickey, you mentioned phones specifically. I think this is something which we can perhaps open up a little bit further, because what's the last thing you do at the end of the day? You generally set the alarm on your phone at the end of the day. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Is turn the alarm off on your phone. You basically, your mobile phone has come to bookend your day, and it sort of replaces prayer at the very beginning of the day and at the very end of the day. Now, to many, there's nothing more difficult than falling to your knees at the end of the day to thank the Lord for the blessings which he has bestowed upon you throughout the day, and to ask him for a safe night's rest and so forth. It sounds like something which is simple to do, but to a great many it's not, because there are so many other distractions. As you see, we find something to do on our phones, or, you know, something else to watch or whatever. And the same is true at the beginning of the day as well. And I think it's crucial in the spiritual life to start as you mean to go on. And yes, by all means, you have to put your phone off and turn your alarm off and so on, but there's no reason why you have to have your Wi-Fi on or your phone signal has to be on or anything like that. The first thing that you should do at the beginning of the day is turn your mind, your heart to prayer, and that's perhaps a simple way of readjusting and realigning your spiritual life throughout the rest of the year.
That's something that Naomi and I have actually been trying to do over the past couple of weeks. You know, and it's based off of the idea of when I was in retreat in the in Blusker in the Benedictine Abbey again, I was thinking again about what St. Benedict says in his rule about the Great Silence, and how could you incorporate that into your daily life at home? And we were talking about this, and one of the things we thought of was, well, what you could do is, and what we're trying to do is that, that before you say prayers before you go to bed, you know, be it Compline or whatever else, you, other kind of prayers you say before you go to bed, at that point, turn off your phone and that's that dealt with, and then say your prayers, and then don't open your phone up again until you've said your prayers in the morning, and it gives you that great silence, so to speak. Now, of course, we're still speaking, we've got a baby, we've got, you know, we need to speak to each other, but there's a certain silence there, there's a silence of not being online, and this is... you can kind of adapt these things to your own personal circumstances, and that's what we've been trying to do on that. And there are ways that you can kind of, you know, try to give God more time. And it's a kind of, it's a silly thing to say, isn't it? It's like, well, can you not just control yourself and not look at your phone? Like, yeah, but it's also hard to do that. We know that in reality. Yeah.
And you're taking, I mean, you're, when you turn your phone off, you are very much saying, God, I'm giving this time to you.
Mm.
Whereas if your phone's sitting there and you're liable to be on it, you're saying, I'm giving you this time, unless I get a really interesting message, then I'll turn my phone
when I hear it buzzing, then I'll maybe go back to that. Yeah,
this will be quite difficult for me, actually. I might try this during Holy Week, but I've got into a habit of I'm actually 15 days straight of asking Alexa the question of the day every morning. That's how I wake up. So I might replace that with a few Hail Marys or something. Yeah, I got today right, so I was quite pleased with that. But,
nice.
And I think that need for silence again highlights just how much noise comes from mobile phones, us as sort of adults here, but also teaching sort of 11 to 18 year olds, they leave school on a Friday and they will have a weekend being sort of bombarded with social media and noise from their mobile phones, whereas when I left school on a Friday, I wouldn't see my friends again until MSN came about around, and that, but it was very much like you leave them, and there was that detachment, and they are so attached to their phones in the same way we are as well, and I think that's then because if we go back to that question, can you not wait? We would all sit here and go, yeah, we can, we will, because that is ultimately the right answer if you believe in Christ. So the fact that's not happening, I think you look at what's stopping that from happening, and I think a big part of it is sort of social media and mobile phones and things like that. Because as you said, when I was young, you'd wake up, you'd say a prayer in the morning, and you'd go to bed and you'd say your night prayers. So yeah, it's just another sort of obstacle in the way of, oh well, you can allow it to be an obstacle, or of course you can sort of overcome it.
Mm-hmm. We actually began, we said, and this kind of touches on what you're saying here, Mikey, but at the start of Lent we were talking about, you know, we only have so much capacity as a human person. You only have so much ability to have things on your mind or be, you know, thinking about people or situations or things or whatever. And Lent is a time where we reevaluate the priority of those things, and we say, you know, we spend a great amount of time doing a great number of things, and those things, whether they be hobbies or whatever, may in of themselves not be bad, but are we really given that time that we should be given to God? You know, I think what you were saying there, Connor's spot on. You know, do we really look at our day? Do we put as much prayer in that as we ought to? Rudy, you said, you know, do we bookend our day with God? And I mean, I can certainly say for myself, I forget to do that more often than not, probably. And that's something that over Lent, I suppose, we've been working towards getting a better habit, and you know, looking to continue on for that. But a Holy Week is, I suppose, when we really ramp that up, and we get back to basics, and we cut out extra things. Remember, I'm sure we spoke about Holy Week last year, and James said in their house, like, they gave up like the TV in Holy Week and stuff like that, and really cut out that noise. So I mean, to be fair, when I was on my way home from work today, my phone cut out, and I've ran out of data on my iPad. I sound so connected to them, don't I? but see, actually, just on my journey home, I was unable to communicate with people, so it was slightly forced. But see that lack of noise that you experience from when you turn your phone off? And I mean, I honestly never get it anymore. I've got some sort of device that's connected me to everything all the time, and I wish I was on the same retreat as James, you know, because he won't have his phone on till Sunday, and we need that. So let's hope and pray that we get that in Holy Week, and we make that time for God this week, and give him at least an hour to watch and pray.
Exactly. So that when it comes to Thursday and we hear those words, then we can say, oh yes, I have. And I will continue to do that in my daily life. Praise God.
Yeah. Again, on the sort of the battery dying, I was recently in Valencia watching a certain football team, and I lost my phone. Which is all that's going to be said there.
What did you lose today, Mickey?
Huh?
What did you lose today?
I've lost my bank card today, and quite a few games of FIFA as well.
That's right.
I played better, so that's all. That's but again, I lost my phone, and I was with James, or with other people who have phones. But you just find yourself sitting there, and you're like, what do I do now? Because you're so used to going through social media. So in that time, I started reading a book that I had started months ago. Mm. And in that time, you're out and about, and rather than being able to Google something, I found myself, I was actually speaking to strangers, which had sort of become an alien thing to do, which is mental. Because again, it just proves how sort of detached they're sort of, when the idea of them or mobile phones are to increase communication, if anything, it's sort of reducing that. So again, it sort of makes you realise how dependent you've become on that, and how maybe that dependency is a bad thing.
I think it's very true. Social media has presented a false sense of community, really, which has taken over many, many spaces which used to be social spaces, or even spaces for encounter with the divine as well. It doesn't matter where, it's a simple, you know, pint in the pub. You know, every single pub has the cloud now is sort of plugged in there, so you can log on to that, and you'll welcome back Rudy, or welcome back Connor, Sean, Mickey. Doesn't matter who it is. The same is true in football stadiums and all these sort of different places. All these sort of old social spaces have become they've been taken over really by social media, and the same thing can happen in our chapels as well. Of course, there are benefits to being able to read the texts of the Mass on electronic devices and so forth, but there has to be, I think, some consideration to and the authentic historical encounter with the divine as well, which technology is not really a contributor to, I wouldn't think. It's not necessary. It's not a necessary part. And it's perhaps worth mentioning that with reference to certainly the public prayer of the church, but also our own private spiritual lives as well.
Getting back to that, that hour of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Christ asked the apostles to watch and pray. And I don't think the apostles realised how crucial that moment was. You know, that was the make or break moment of their spiritual lives, really. And they fell asleep, and obviously, you know, they were after the resurrection, you know, they all came back to Christ, and they went out and preached to the whole world, and more than made amends. But often in life, you know, we are confronted with what a scenario which may turn out to be make or break for our spiritual lives. And have we neglected to pray leading up to that point? I mean, I think, you know, the church very wisely says, you know, always be ready for Christ to come again. Always be ready. The apostles didn't know that that time is so crucial. We might face a crucial moment in our lives tomorrow. We need to be ready spiritually for that if that happens. You know, the second coming could be tomorrow. And we need to be awake and praying and always ready for that. And you know, that command that Christ gave them wasn't an arbitrary one. It wasn't just pray now and relax later. It was pray now, and Christ always says that to us, and we always need to have that in our minds and in our hearts, that we need to be ready for whatever comes. And we can only do that with prayer.
you think about the multitude of the saints that speak about how you should be always prepared for death and that this could be your last day and these sorts of things. And I mean, that ties in exactly what you're saying. It could be the second coming tomorrow, but you could also die tonight. And then if you think back on your day, your last day on earth, how much time have you spent on with God? How much time have you spent in prayer? Not enough, probably. I think I'm thinking about myself, not enough. So, you know, there's also those kind of things we need to keep in our minds, I think. You know, obviously not to be morbidly obsessed with it, like, yeah, oh my God, I might die. But to be like, you know, realistically, it could happen any time. So yeah, I need to be prepared. I need to have a routine in my day that allows me these opportunities to thank God for the graces that I've received and to ask Him for mm-hmm. the strength I need and the divine presence and such things. And then, you know,
and that prayer that we should have throughout the day isn't a somber and depressing sort of, you know, as you're saying, it's not a morbid sense. It's a joyful one, because by praying, you know, we don't trip our faces up and you know, look depressed, and you know, I'm very serious. And but, you know, prayer is an encounter with God, which brings us happiness, meaning, joy, these sorts of things. And we need to have that kind of spirit of prayer, the ones that the saints had. You know, people, my spiritual director, Father Stephen, knew St. Jose Maria, which I always think is incredible. I've probably mentioned that ages ago in the podcast. But he said the joy that came from St. Jose Maria was indescribable. Like, folk that met him, like, just were immediately taken by him. And all the saints had that joy, that joy of the gospel emanating from them, really, that light of Christ really coming from them. And that is what we get when we pray. And now, Holy Week obviously is a time for a little bit more austerity, and our prayer life should reflect the liturgical season that we're in, which is Lent, of course. But that prayer that we always are called to act out in that readiness is one that's going to lead us to be happy and fulfilled. And that's what we're going to experience at the Easter Sunday, that sense of we have prayed and we can then rejoice.
Amen.
Any thoughts, Mickey?
Yeah, a couple of things. So we said that the disciples didn't know what was going to happen, in which case we do. So I think the more, as someone who struggles to make enough time for a daily sort of relationship with Christ, with work and with general excuses, you sit here and not one of those excuses that I'm thinking to myself justifies it. Not one is more important, yet I sort of give it more time than I should. And I think it's just sort of thinking on it, and the reality of they didn't know, we do know. So what's our excuse? Who's going to look back and go, Mickey didn't know, so that's why he didn't make time. Mickey does know, and Mickey's still not making time, and that's the problem. Yeah. And yeah, you can put excuses on that, but it's something that even just by, as I said, that sort of sentence and question, something that has long sort of been on my mind and that. But really, when you look into it, like, there is no. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe He died for our sins, then I mean, it's almost inexcusable. And we know it's not. We know we have forgiveness and confession, but it's a poor form on our part. So I think if we're not making enough time in sort of Lent, in Holy Week, but also thereafter, I think if you are, that's where everyone wants to be, and if you're not, I think that's the challenge. So,
amen.
That's it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that brings us to the end of the journey, I think. Mickey, it's been good to have you for your debut.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hopefully, have you back.
Yeah, I hope to be back. So,
it's the destination, not the journey.
Yeah,
that's
so
it.
Here we are.
Absolutely. So, yeah, thank you very much for having me. As I said, I teach a number of classes down in St. Albans from 11 to 18. So if I could ask for your prayers for them as we sort of enter the sort of exam period and the stresses of growing up with so much social media. I think the majority of my students are in need of at least an hour with Jesus. So if we can keep them all in your prayers, I'll be very grateful. So, thank you very much for having me.
No worries. I don't think we've got any shout outs as far as I know for this week. We may possibly.
What was? We had a shout out from Henry Starkey, which is nice to hear. We all know his big brother who's at Glasgow University. Great guy, good photographs. Well, he always seems to zoom in on me and appropriate with my tongue out or cough or something like that. But yeah, we got a good suggestion from him for our podcast topic, which we're going to do soon. Thank you very much for that. And you know, anyone else who's got any ideas and any observations or points to make, then please feel free to fire them through to us.
Yeah, and let us know how Mickey did. If anyone wants to give us some feedback on Mickey, we will.
It's a 10-point scale.
Yeah,
so I'll forward that one to you, Mickey.
I'd welcome the feedback. I think it's only right that we shout out James as well, who, if it wasn't for his absence, my presence wouldn't be here today. That sounds beautiful, doesn't it? I'll write that one down.
But thanks again for everyone for tuning in. I hope you have a good Palm Sunday and a happy and holy week.
And we'll see you on the other side. We'll see you on Easter.
I know. So, until then, here's to the pint, the mic and the cross.
Cheers.
Hello there.
Feisty one you are.